Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. 8 internet addicts gather in a support group called Friends of Saul in a church basement and share their stories.
But now the woods are dark and cold, clogged with nettles and roots. There is a monster.
And I am a monster.
Addiction, obsession, insomnia, depression, and the fear that I've wasted too much of myself on rapid and vapid click-clicks.
Dave Malloy's Lucille Lortel Award-winning musical Octet is running at Hudson Valley Shakespeare in Garrison, New York through September 7th. Malloy is a composer, writer, performer, and orchestrator whose works include Moby Dick, a four-part musical inspired by Melville's classic novel, and Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812, an electro-pop musical based on a slice of Tolstoy's War and Peace, which earned 12 Tony nominations. He's won 2 Obie Awards, a Smithsonian Ingenuity Award, a Theater World Award, the Richard Rogers Award, an ASCAP New Horizons Award, and a Jonathan Larson Grant, and has been a McDowell Fellow and Composer-in-Residence at Ars Nova and the Signature Theater. For Octet, Malloy created the music, lyrics, book, and a cappella vocal arrangements. He drew inspiration from internet comment boards, scientific debates, religious texts, and Sufi poetry. Hudson Valley Shakespeare's Mounting of Octet is the first since its off-Broadway run. Esteemed theatrical director Amanda Dehnert leads the show and joins us now. Amanda, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
What is your previous to this production relationship with Octet or the work of Dave Malloy on a larger scale?
No relationship to Octet prior to this production. And I'm a big fan of Dave Malloy's work, have been for a long time, but this is the first piece of his that I've ever had the great pleasure to work on.
I've yet to see it. I have listened to some of the off-Broadway cast recording, and this is the first production since the off-Broadway production a number of years ago.
Yep.
Tell us about your experience of the piece, why you were excited to direct it, and what you have enjoyed learning about it as you've proceeded. Sell us on the show, I suppose, is the bigger question that I'm asking you.
Well, I think it's the most original piece of theater that's come into being in the last, 20 years. It's just extraordinary. The originality of it, the uniqueness of Dave's voice, and then the topic. It addresses internet addictions in our contemporary society, and it's just right on point with so many things so many people live with as they're figuring out how to be in the technology that we are in, which is rapidly growing, rapidly changing, often intimidating, should be, I think, a little frightening. And this piece follows 8 characters as they get into that. And it's super compelling, super relevant, super entertaining, funny, and moving, and like all the things you want from 90 minutes in the theater.
It is performed by actors and singers who are an a cappella chamber choir, which is just one of the aspects of the piece that is incredibly original and separate from almost anything else, maybe anything else I've heard of or seen, as you mentioned. How do people need to be directed inside of an a cappella chamber octet?
You know, it actually works very much like a play to me. Yes, they are singing almost the entire time. The characters are people, everyday people, and the interactions they have are works like scenes, monologues, theatrical events. So it really hasn't felt so much like directing a musical as it's felt like directing a brilliant play that is using music as its primary vernacular.
A lot of the conversation surrounding internet addiction or you know, screen addiction can feel, what do I want to say? Dry and researched, prescriptive, you know, when it's discussed, even online, right. Even on the platforms themselves, but especially in, you know, potentially news media or, you know, school conversation around it. But this, as you've said, emphasizes the humanity of the problem. Tell us about, you know, without spoiling much, some of these humans that we get to meet, some of the characters that are present in the piece.
Yeah, there's it's a support group that has 8 members. Some of them have been coming for a while. One of them serves as the group's leader. And there's one person who is coming to the group for the very first time. So you've got layers there of, you know, support groups are really interesting things because they're time bound. It's never people that you have extended social relationships with. You come together to basically help each other get better. I think it's one of the more human things we do. And these characters come from really, really different backgrounds. It's everything from a woman dealing with her husband's internet addiction and how that affects their home life. There's another woman dealing with navigating the world of dating apps and trying to find connection, especially now in this post-pandemic world we're in. And there's someone who struggles with an addiction to online gaming, which is one of the, I think, sneakier ones because it doesn't necessarily seem like it's problematic, except it really can suck up hours and hours of your life. And people struggling with the state of the world and how to interface with the beautiful thing about the internet, the truly beautiful and amazing thing about the World Wide Web is that it allowed us as a species to connect over these vast distances that we exist in on this planet. You could make a friend halfway across the globe with the World Wide Web, and that just wasn't possible before. And so with that beautiful opportunity has come an opening up of a flood of information that can really be overwhelming to process, I think, just the state of the world. And we get all that information, we get all that news whenever we want it, right when we want it. We compulsively check to see what else is going on. There's the concept of doom scrolling, you know, hopping from tragedy to tragedy to tragedy. And it's very difficult to look away. And I think it's even often very hard to feel okay about looking away. And so the characters in Octet are largely wanting to get some part of their own smaller lives back under their control. I could just go on and on about it. And really, just speaking as a person who lives with a phone in my pocket, you know, it's really nice to have a space to hear these stories that are inventions of Dave's and some drawn directly from internet sources. It's a really eclectic piece.
The libretto, as you've just mentioned, essentially, is inspired by fabrications, but also internet comment boards, scientific debates. It also says religious texts and Sufi poetry, but I'm going to go back to internet comment boards and, mm-hmm. and real online stories.
Yeah.
Like are featured in the pod in the book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Henson.
Yes.
Yep. How much of the research and material compiling that Dave Malloy did to write the show is available to you as the director of this production?
A lot of it. With the libretto and score, Dave included an author's note, basically, of the most significant influences for him as he was writing the piece. Books he read, television, film, music he listened to, articles. And so that's just the coolest kind of deep dive, you know? It's like getting to get an actual little reading nook inside somebody's brain and just see all the things they saw. And then he's also got, he's annotated the lyrics with just little bits of background about what he was alluding to or what he was thinking about or what something is referring back to. And it's, oh, it's just fascinatingly interwoven. If you're a person who enjoys, I'm going to say speculative fiction, you know, things in the Black Mirror genre, this stuff is just fascinating. And this is a really wonderful rabbit hole to go down, this piece.
I said in my last question, I did mention and then jump away from religious text and Sufi poetry, but I want to bring it back up now. How are those, I mean, they're different. Sufi poetry is not the same as religious texts, but just as far as they don't seem immediately relatable to the internet, how do they incorporate into the piece?
Well, one of the characters is a scientist who works in a lab. He's a neurophysicist, and he's investigating sound waves. He encounters a voice online, and the voice tells him that it thinks it might be some kind of god and would like some tests run to see if that's true. And it's this wonderful story about science and skepticism and faith and the kind of ineffable qualities of life. You know, where is the line between what is a miracle and what is just highly advanced science? And once you start trying to put those things right next to each other, and you realize that they're not that different, it can kind of throw you into a little bit of a existential wondering of what is then love? What is imagination? What is anything? Where does it really come from? And is it special the way we think of the sacred or holy as being separate from reality? Or is it special in that it's a extremely advanced reality? And that's kind of where religious texts come in. There's the final song in the piece draws from a Rumi poem and talks about, it talks about a lot of big things, but it's stepping off of a piece that is about a pair of lovers who are about to be separated by a long, long distance and long, long time, agreeing to find each other again on the other side of the struggles that they're about to face. And this belief, faith, I can call it faith, in there being a way through whatever you're struggling with, there being an other side to the things that are hard, is hope. And that, I think, is absolutely central to human existence. I think we can't really live without it. And it's something that we always need to find a way to create for ourselves. And this piece I just love how it looks backwards that far, you know, and forwards into a future that we barely have scratched the surface of, and still talks about the simple human thing of surviving and doing that through finding hope and making a promise to yourself and believing that you can get through. It's really great stuff. It makes your heart feel good.
Amanda Daynard is our guest. She's directed Octet for Hudson Valley Shakespeare. It's running through September 7th. I understand there is also another overlay worked into the show, which really, I mean, Dave Malloy's mind, how does he do it?
I know, but that it's so amazing.
It's so many things that don't sound like they should work together, including this next thing, which is that each song corresponds to one of the major arcana in a tarot deck.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
How much does that, this is a very rudimentary way to ask this, but how much does that matter?
Well, you know, I tell you, it's one of those layers that if you look at it and you look into it and you see, okay, so why is this writer making this connection? And what does this tell me about what this piece is about? It's a whole thing. The tarot in a lot of ways deals with, again, human survival, how we journey through the world, through life. And there's a progression there that is also embedded in the structure of Octet. And Dave is a, he's really, really, incredibly well versed in tarot. It's something that he's just a fan of, the background of it and the what it is and how it works, and so there's this kind of joy in it, in him referencing it as well. I always feel like there's this little glee of like, and this is also here. And you don't have to know anything about the tarot to understand the piece at all. Or you could look at it and say, hey, this is organized according to certain figures in the arcana. I wonder what's up with that. And then you can look into it. It's like everything he puts out there, you just feel smarter after you spend a little bit of time with it, which is also a great, great for entertainment, you know, not in that, but like entertainment as if it's a bad thing, but like the fundamental need we have to be entertained by things right. That catch our imagination, that engage our minds, you know, that is this piece all over.
Yeah. If you spend some time nerding out, really investigating Octet, you can stay away from Candy Crush and social media for that much longer.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you learn stuff, and it's not didactic. It's not telling you what to do or how to be at all. It's just unfolding these questions and layers and lines of inquiry and discoveries. And it's so much fun. It's just so much fun.
Speaking of fun, before I let you go real quick, what do you like about working at Hudson Valley Shakespeare?
Oh, gosh. I think everything, but I think today what I like most about working at Hudson Valley Shakespeare is when you're doing a piece of theater and you're engaging with the elements, you're not in a room with walls and a ceiling and a floor. You're outside, and you have a tent, and you have the wind blowing, and you have a dirt floor, and you have the cicadas, and you have all of it. It's really humbling, and it's also, I think, one of the best kinds of challenge as a director, because you don't have much control. You know, it's not like you can just make the world stop buzzing, where you're outside. So the stuff that you're creating has to be really compelling. You know, it's a great litmus test. Anyone can be polite in a dark theater that is silent, right? But
maybe,
but you know, and you often sometimes just don't even know what's going on out there in their heads. And when you're outside, I think audiences feel a freedom to shift in their seats and laugh and clap and yawn and do anything. And just from a directing perspective, I think that's the best kind of audience, because they are honest. And you don't know if you're making something really great unless it is absolutely getting at those people sitting in those seats. That's who we do it for. So I think that today is what I love about working at Hudson Valley Shakespeare, is getting to meet that challenge every day with really, really talented people who are really passionate about what they do.
And what I like about working at WAMC today is getting to speak with you. This has been tremendously fun. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Amanda Dehnert is the director of Dave Malloy's Octet at Hudson Valley Shakespeare. To learn more, visit hvshakespeare.org. The show is up through September 7th.
Isolation, anxiety, inability to assimilate with society. And the fear that the monster will find me, infect me, and blind me, butcher my heart and distort my soul. It's starting to get to me. It's starting to get to me.
I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.